Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Behold how good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. I thank you all for coming. You know, it's my first time doing a little intro stuff, so y'all bear with me, okay? I'll get it together. But anyway, if you don't mind standing with me as we sing Sabbath Rest.
Father God, Lord, what a wonderful time it is to have come together on this blessed Sabbath day to call upon your precious name. Lord, to allow for their spirit to fall fresh upon us. Lord, we ask that you bless us as we worship today. Change hearts, change minds. Move us, Lord, in the right direction. And allow, Lord, for your spirit to be freshly brought upon us. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus, and for his name's sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I ask you to remain standing with me as we read in or recite the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God.
Thank you.
the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't care what happened this week. I don't care if your body is in aches and pains. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord. I'm going to command my mouth to praise the Lord this morning. So we just want to say thank you for coming to the Tabernacle of Praise this morning. Amen. You may be seated. On behalf of our pastor, Jonathan B. Fields and Melanie Fields, we want to extend a warm Tabernacle of Praise welcome to each and every one of you. Amen. This is the church with the open door, where everybody is somebody, and worship is truly a joy. I'm glad to see Sister Alvina and her kids, Jaden and Jordan. Amen. Amen. Glad to see you in the house, and we're so happy to have Sister Beverly back in the house. Amen. Amen. Had that boot on, but she didn't let that stop her from coming to the house of the Lord. We're happy to have Brother Charles back in the house this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just are so excited this morning because God has been so good to us this week. Just by the mere fact that you made it. Look at your neighbor and say, I made it. Amen. By God's grace. We're happy to have Joseph. Joseph went on a little excursion down there to the Bahamas this week. Amen.
Yes.
And by the grace of God, I was praying because he was going right into the hurricane. And I tell you, he was just sharing some of those experiences, saying those big cruise ships, you know, they're big, but they nothing compared to that ocean. That ship was going up and down like a little toy. But God kept him. Amen. 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 And Teresa and I, we have relatives down there in Tampa and Orlando and Ocala and Jacksonville, onto Mont Springs, but the Lord kept them safe, amen. Amen. My aunt, who's 87 years old, stays on the apartment, just a one-story apartment, and during regular tropical storms, the water comes all the way up to her door. We're not talking about a hurricane. And we pleaded with her to get out. And she says, I serve a God. And we could not persuade her to get out. And she says she was up looking at that water because she has a creek behind her house. You know that saying, I'll be there tomorrow if the Lord says so and if the creek don't rise. And so she says she was watching that creek and it was coming on up. It was halfway up in her yard and God said, no more. Gone back down. Praise the Lord. So she was like Daniel. I called her at 6 o'clock that next morning. She answered the phone and said, all is well. So I praise the Lord this morning for his grace and his mercy. We want to continue to pray for those victims down there. Amen. You all have to realize that all nature seems like it's out of control. The Lord is trying to warn the world that he's coming back. Things are not going to continue the way that they always continued. God said at some point, he's going to say, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. It's time to stop playing. It's time to get serious now. If you ever needed the Lord before, you sure enough need him right now. Amen. People are really going through. Want to pray for Brother Jerry. We got word last night that he's had to go into an induced coma because he has COPD, couldn't breathe. And so he's struggling for his life right now. So we just want to keep Jerry in prayer. We want to keep Elder Kwame in prayer. His body is so racked with pain, he couldn't even move this morning. So we want to just pray for him and just pray for our pastor there in Pennsylvania. Want to pray for his safe travel as they're expecting their second grandchild. Amen. We had to postpone our men's day for next week. But I didn't say cancel, I said postpone. So I know you all are looking forward to that nice meal, but you all going to have to wait a little bit longer. But good things come to those who wait, amen. Now next week we are having our suicide prevention. We're going to be passing out, Tori's going to be leading a group out after church. We're going to be passing these flyers out, amen. That's going to be next Sabbath. I believe that it's at 2:45, amen. So we want everyone to And they say the suicide rate is really high amongst young people. Amen. So we want to make sure that we invite someone and we support that on next Sabbath. Next Sunday at 1 o'clock, we're going to be memorializing David Bowen. Amen. So next Sunday, we want to make sure that you're in the house to support that family. Support Sister Bowen. Amen. She's been faithful. And we always want to encourage you to tune in on our Wednesday night prayer service. Amen. Amen. And when I was coming up, you know, Percy and I and Bobby, our parents taught us every Wednesday, I don't care what we were doing, at 7 o'clock we were at prayer meeting. And that stuck with us all through the years. Amen. So at Wednesday night prayer meeting, we're studying out of the book Last Day Events. How appropriate. Last Day Events. So if you want to know what it's going to be like, what we need to do in the last days, tune in and invite somebody else on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. How many of you ready to worship this morning? Let's stand as we have our praise and worship this morning.
You should be. morning, church.
Good morning.
Reading in our Bible, the 150th Psalm says, "Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God in His sanctuary.
Yes.
Praise Him in His mighty firmament.
Yes,
praise Him for His mighty acts.
Yes,
praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Yes.
Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet.
Yes.
Praise Him with the sound of the flute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance.
Praise
Him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Today, Lord, we just want to praise You for all that You've done. If I were to take a survey and ask, was there somebody here that had a praise report, the hands would go up everywhere. We would not be able to leave this service for the praise reports. And for that, Lord, we just say thank You. At this time, it is God's time.
That's right.
And it's time for you to draw a little closer to give God some praise as we thank Him for all that He's done. So come on down to the altar. Come on down to the altar as we lay it up all upon God, as we give Him thanks for what He's done, as we want to just offer prayer and supplication for everything that we've been through this week, for all that He's brought us through, for all that we've gone through. And Lord, we can still say thank You for everything. We thank You for the storms because we know that You're still in the saving business. We thank You for the trials because we know that without a test, there's no testimony. And for that, Lord, we just want to say thank You. Lord, we thank You for every financial struggle we had because we know that You said the cattle on 1,000 hills are Yours. And for that, Lord, we just want to say thank You.
Thank You.
Lord, we've got sick in our midst today. Lord, we've got hurt in our midst today. Lord, we have those who have pain in their body in our midst today. And Lord, for feeling in our body, we just want to say thank You. Because of Your grace, we're able to brave the pain. We're able to have more month than we have money. And for that, Lord, we just say thank You. Because You gave us a struggle to build the character of Your people. And for that, Lord, we just say thank You. We know that without You that we have nothing. And Lord, we just want to say thank You for everything that You have done for us. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we ask You to cleanse us and clean us up. Lord, we say thank You. So every head is bowed and every eye is closed as we press a little closer to the throne room. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Lord, we just want to lift up those that are down in the peninsula of Florida. Lord, You know the lives that have been lost. Lord, You know the destruction that the roaring lion has sought to issue upon Your people. Lord, You know all the struggles that we are dealing with in this church, in this land, in this time. And Lord, we know that You have keys to unlock every answer to every prayer that we would have to alter. So we are reaching up a little bit higher just to get those keys from that storeroom that You have promised in Your Son's name to unlock for Your people. Right now, Father, we rely on the name of Jesus for our brother who is in the hospital, Brother Jerry. Lord, go by there. Let Your will be done in his life. Touch him with Your healing hands, Lord. Give him what he needs to know that You are the one who sustains. And when he comes out of this thing, let him give glory to you.
Yes, sir.
Lord, we thank you for Beverly being in the midst today. She was out and down, but not out for the count because of your grace. Because of your mercy, she's able to stand in this place today. Be it with the boot on, she's still here, giving you the glory and the praise that you deserve. Lord, there's financial breakthroughs that are needed in this place. You said that if we ask in your name, that the storehouse will be open. So today we get rid of all iniquity in our hearts, and we come to you humbly asking you for that which you have promised through your Son. Lord, not on our accord, but because of the one who you sent, the one who you sent to be our advocate, Lord, we call on his name, because he's told us that if we ask in his name, that storehouse of heaven will be open. So in Jesus' name we ask that you give us the supplications of our heart, that you give us what we need, because we use Jesus as our supplication. So through the prayers of the saints, it availeth much. And today, Lord, the saints are around your throne asking and pleading for you to give us what we need. It is not because of our merit, but it's because of your Son that we are able to stand here today and say thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that strengthen our character. You said, who you love, you chastise. And for that, Lord, we draw just a little bit closer. It will lessen the blow if we draw closer to you. So today, Lord, in this place, we draw closer to the throne of grace. Because only you have the power to give your people what they need to move forward. So, Lord, we dare not close this prayer without reminding the members and those that are onlooking and those who don't know that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Though the one seeking to destroy tries to deter us, we will not be moved, because we are keeping our feet solid on Christ the rock. So for that, Lord, we just say thank you. Let everyone under the sound of my voice who knows that Jesus is the Redeemer, yes, let us all say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For all the trials, for all the troubles, for everything that you put us through, we draw closer to you, the one who has the answer. Let us press towards the mark, keeping us secure in your hand. Lord, we know that 10,000 to the left side, 10,000 to the right side, but our eyes are stayed on you.
Yes.
So while we keep our eyes fixed on you, we want to say thank you for all you've done.
Yes.
In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Yes. All the believers said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.
Good morning again, and happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
I just wanted to share with you where our church is financially. Now, we all know that God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, right? And the hills also are his. Our church has been faithful, and I want to praise God that we are 85% of our goal for the year has been met already. We have a 1/4 left, and at this point, if we were calculating, we would only be 75%. But God has blessed us to exceed where we need to be. So I praise God for that. I want to ask us to continue to be faithful. God knows our number, He knows everything that we are in need of. The story was told of a guy named Bob that first started giving 10% of his income through his paycheck to God when he was in his mid-30s. At first, he was scared to start doing this. But as time went on, he discovered how faithful God could be in providing for his needs. One day, he called this pastor and told him the story of when he was completely broke and couldn't even afford to purchase the bus pass he needed to get back and forth to work. As he was sitting at his desk, kind of feeling sorry for himself, the phone rang, and a woman in another department asked Bob if he knew anyone that needed a week's bus pass for bus number 47. Bob said, "That's my bus number, and yes, I need a bus pass." He was amazed. Bob was learning to give to God first when he got paid, and he was experiencing God as this faithful provider. He told everyone that God even knew his bus number. Now let me share with you. Did you know that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has churches around the world, has more churches around the world than the number of Pizza Hut, McDonald's, and Subway restaurants combined? At the end of 2023, the Adventist World Church had a total of 22,785,195 members in over 100,000 churches. Okay? 1,200,000 of those members are here in North America. That means that 95% of our membership are outside of North America. The church has 230 hospitals and sanitariums, 1,906 medical clinics, 9,589 schools, and 57 publishing houses. We are in over 190 countries. We're not a local presence. We're a worldwide presence. And what does this have to do with stewardship? I'm glad you asked. Our personal efforts have a lot to do with the movement of souls into the kingdom through the worldwide church. We are unlike any denomination for this reason. Our tithe, 100% family of our tithe does not stay here in our local church. All of those things I just mentioned, our pastors, our teachers, our churches, our schools, our hospitals, our mission fields, that's where our tithe goes to support that. What takes care of our local congregation are our offerings. So when you put on this tithe envelope, tithe only, you're sending 100% of that money to a good cause because it's going throughout the world to support everything that God has for us to do in the world. But total stewardship, this line here, the middle section, total stewardship, those funds are what stay here locally at Tabernacle of Praise to pay for our lights, to pay our mortgage, to pay for all of our ministries. Everything else is paid for out of total stewardship. So I am thankful to God that we are faithful in our tithe. But let's take a step up, because we have not been making our budget for the past 7 or 8 months. We have not been making our budget. So we need to up our total stewardship, our giving to church expense, so that we can continue to do the things here locally that God has for us to do. And I want to thank God for each and every one of you. And I know that you will make a commitment to God because he's got your number. And I know you want to continue to be faithful and blessed. Amen. So we thank God for that as the deacons come forward. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, just thanking you that you have given us the opportunity to be stewards in your vineyard, Father. And we ask that you will bless our efforts. You will bless those funds that we put into this plate. Father, that they will go to be used for your cause, and that souls, many souls, will come into thy kingdom as a result. We thank you and we praise you for your blessings. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Over and over again. The sanctuary is an important place. Do you know that? The Bible teaches us that God asks us to build him a sanctuary where he can dwell amongst us. God loves us so much and want to be so close to us, even though he has a dwelling place in heaven, so far where nobody can see and reach, he still want to be so close, so he asks us to build him a dwelling place on earth where he can be with us. The sanctuary is a special place. But understand this. Without God's presence in the sanctuary, it is just another room. But when the presence of God is in here and you have made a conscious decision to meet him here, beautiful things happen for your life. The first thing you receive is peace. You know, you've been going through all kinds of stuff all week. You've been in pain, you've been worried about things, and kids been this way and that way, and the boss been this way and that way. But when you get to the sanctuary, you're not even thinking about that stuff. Because now you're in the presence of God, and while you're in the presence of God and you know you want to worship God because of who he is and what he means to you, God said, I inhabit your praise. I will embrace you, and then I'll allow you to hear from heaven. Amen. Y'all ready to hear from heaven? Amen. So am I. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to get into the Word of God. We are going to read these verses responsively. We're going to go to the book. Come and journey with me to the book of James. James chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 2 and conclude with verse number 8. Amen. The Bible says, dear brothers and sisters, and I'm going to read it from the NLT version. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Verse 4. So let it grow. Verse 4. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Verse number 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Mercy. Just for a moment, I want you to think on this topic. Ingredients for the recipe. Right. Every head is bowed. Spirit of the living God. Yeah. I am now depending on you. Open our eyes that we may see the glimpses of truth direct from thee. We believe in your hands you hold the heavenly keys. So unlock all mysteries. We ask you now, Jesus, take us now by the hand and reveal to us your heavenly plan. Hold us up now as you would, and we'll continue to be loyalty to you as we should. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. It's so glad to see you guys' smiling faces. Amen. For those who are online, we welcome you to join in with the Word of God. God has a beautiful message for all of us. Ingredients for the recipe. Now, you know, when you have a recipe and you're trying to fix certain things, a certain special particular thing, you know, and you have to have some ingredients. You just can't put no anything in there and think it's going to turn out a certain way. Amen? So that's all God is doing. God is saying, look here, you are my recipe. But there are certain ingredients I have to pour into you to become it. See, you can't get to heaven no any kind of way. So I have to pour into you the right things that's going to get you there. Does that make sense? It's the truth anyway, if you don't believe that. When we look at what God is trying to do with us, understand and believe that he have our best interests at heart. But it comes a time sometimes we kind of reason in our mind, does God really care? Sometimes we reason in our mind, it ain't nothing really but the devil entertaining your mind to make you want to believe, does God really care? Now you should know the answer to that. There's no such thing as a Christian, meaning following after Christ, not believing that God doesn't care. Because you know what Jesus done on the cross. You know what he's promised you. And you are holding on to that fact. Amen? So when the devil is searching whom he may devour as a roaring lion, he's looking for a piece of meat that he can chew on. And that if it's not kosher meat, he may spit it out. Y'all didn't get that. Okay, here we go. There are certain ingredients that you have to possess to get to heaven. We are the recipe. The recipe comes from heaven as an example from Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so here we go. Let's get busy, God. Let's go to work. The Bible teaches us, when we look in James chapter 3 and 4, it says for us to know that when our faith is tested, your endurance have a chance to grow. Okay? It's asking you to let it grow. Let these come about. Don't be troubled on every side when you see these things coming your way, because it's going to develop you and it's going to make you perfect. It's going to complete you, and you're not going to need anything else but what God gave you. Now look, verse number 12 says this. Verse number 12 in the book of James chapter 1. Here's verse 12. It says, God blesses those who are patiently endure testing and temptation. I'm going to say that again. It says in verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, here it is. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So here it is. You go through life not understanding everything, why you're going through this, why the devil is bothering you on this thing, why God has not come through, why? Ain't that the truth? Here's your answer. For us to make it into God's kingdom, God sees in all of us something that is not like him. So for us to be in God's family eternally, he has to get some things out of us. those things has to come by a lot of trials and persecution. The Bible teaches us for those who are want to be godly in Christ, who wants to be seeing God face to face, you shall, it didn't say you would be or you might, God said you shall suffer persecution. But the persecution God is going to use to strengthen you. He's going to use to bring you to a point of a stature just like himself. Look at the life of Jesus. Think about it and reflect on it. Okay. Jesus came from earth. He came from heaven, I'm sorry, to earth. And look what he had to endure. Think about it. God the Son comes here because he don't want anyone to perish. He comes, die for our sins. But before he dies, look what he had to go through. And you ask the question, why you go through stuff. The Bible teaches us that we are being partakers of his suffering. So you can identify what he went through just to save you. That makes sense? If it doesn't, it's the truth anyway. So I'm going to give you just seven more ingredients or seven more topics or seven more scriptures that's going to help you in your relationship. Amen? To help you grow, to help you get to heaven. Is that right? Okay. So look, James just told you got to have faith when you're being tested, and you have to endure, and your endurance will help you grow, okay? So your first thing is, I got to have faith, and I have to endure. You guys get that? So that when things come up your way, quit asking that question why anymore. Activate your faith and use the strength of God to endure. Because if you don't, you're going to be lost. Because that means you are going to allow Satan to come in and to entertain your mind to make a decision to leave God. That's what the trials and the tests comes. Look, if you don't utilize it for your good, then it will connect you to something evil and something negative. And guess what? That's what you will become. Here we are. Okay, let me give you seven of them. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. You guys write these scriptures down. Romans chapter 2. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and verse 2. This is what it says. This is going to help you. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, it is pleasing, and it's perfect. That's the first thing. So what God is saying, look, what I need you to do is submit yourself to me. Surrender to me. The Bible talks about bring your body to God. He said bring all your instruments, every part of you to him. And that way God can work on you, and what God going to do in you and do for you is going to be a testament to his goodness. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. Because look, you haven't always been saved. You haven't always done the right thing. You haven't already said all the right things. So look what God has done for you thus far. So can you see yourself in the mirror and say, thank you, God, for the progress? That's what you ought to say. Because he's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with us yet. And he is going to make us something that is pleasing, complete, and perfect. Woo, come on, somebody say amen. All right. Okay. Are y'all ready? Okay. Here we go. Romans chapter 6. Look at Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. We just saw what Romans chapter 12 and 1 and 2 said. It says that he wants us to have a holy life, to be sacrificed. And look, God wants us to, he said, that's the way to worship me, and true holiness. And that's something that a lot of people don't want to teach anymore about holiness. But look at Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. These are some of the ingredients you shouldn't use. There's one in particular ingredient that is killing off or is messing up the recipe. Here it is. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. It says, do not let sin control the way you live. That is an ingredient you shouldn't add to the recipe. So he says, don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give into sinful desires. And look at verse 13. It says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right, for the glory of God. Understand something. Your members in your body can be used for good or evil. This is what it's saying. And it's saying that, but if you present them back to God, God will anoint them in such a way to be used for his glory. If you don't present them back to God, you by default already giving it back to the devil. And God is saying, look, if you be used for evil, then how could you say you belong to me? God is not about evil. And God is saying, look here, the recipe is you, and the ingredients I'm trying to give you is going to help you become like me. Okay, here we go. Let's keep going. So that's the ingredients that we shouldn't add. You know how you baking some bread or something, or a cake or something, and you get the milk and you get the eggs and you get the little flavor of vanilla or something like that? Now, you don't add no sage to it, do you? You don't put no seasoning salt in it, right? Those are ingredients that you wouldn't put in something that you're trying to make to be perfect. Does that make sense? Okay, let's keep going. Now let me give you the key ingredient. The key ingredient, the main ingredient that you need to become perfect, something pleasing, and to be complete. Amen? Are you ready? Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 10. And I'm almost finished. Why do y'all believe it or not? Luke, what chapter 10? Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and look at verses 27 and 28. When we start, now in verse 25, and this is not on the screen, it's about this guy comes to Jesus and he asks, hey man, what I must do to have eternal life? So here's Jesus' answer. Jesus answered him, said, hey man, what do you know about the law of Moses? What do you think God is saying to you? And this is the man's response. Here it is, verse 27. The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 28, Jesus says, right, do this, and you will live. What is that saying to us? God is telling us, look, love is the key ingredient. If you can love me with everything you have, because I'm the one that created you and you want to give it back to me, look how strong the relationship can be between me and you. God is saying, look, fall in love with me again. And look, if you read Revelation chapter 2, he has this against the church. He said, you have lost your first love. God said, you don't love me like you used to. I need you to get back to that thing, because Satan, your adversary, is trying to counterfeit you with lust, with the world. But if you just keep falling in love with me, come on. And then he said, and not only just fall in love with me, but I want you guys to love each other, because you guys are my creation. How are you going to love me and don't want to love each other and we all supposed to be a family? That's just the key ingredient. Love is the key ingredient. We may be opposite in the way we do things. We may be in opposites of how we think. But still, love should supersede everything. It's patient, it's kind, it's humble, it's gentle, it's forgiving. Love is the key ingredient that will produce all these other things where God can be pleased with our life. Are you listening? Okay, here we go. Okay, here come a couple of appeals from the Bible, not from the preacher right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, watch what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in with each other. Let there be no divisions in the, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. God said, look, my church, look, let me say it another way, God. All right, okay. God said, look, he's not tolerating no foolishness and nonsense. Where you come into church and have a form of godliness. God's saying you're going to irritate him, and you do that putting certain ingredients in the recipe that don't mix. Then God himself saying he had to throw the whole thing out. What the recipe needs. It's the ingredients that's going to bring everything together. And then this is thank you, God, for this revelation. It's going to bring everything together. And while you're making it and baking it in your kitchen, it smells good, doesn't it? And what does that do? That aroma goes out into another room. And then maybe one of your kids or your husband or wife. And you say, man, it smells good in here. And it makes you what? It draws other people to the recipe. Come on now. You get this thing? If the ingredients that you put in, it's the right ingredients, the recipe will cook up something so good that other people want to taste and see how good it is. Does that make sense? Okay, let's go. I'm almost done. I'm going to give you three more scriptures and we're going to get out of here. We got a whole lot to do today. Amen. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 3 and verse number 5. Verses 3 to verse 5. Okay. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible said, look, I'm pleading with you that I want you guys to be in harmony with each other. I don't want no divisions in my church. And then he goes on to some other ingredients that he wants you to throw out your house and don't put it in that bowl. Look at it. Verse 3, it says, don't be what? Selfish. Do not try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. What is God saying here? He's saying, look, this thing is going to poison the whole recipe. First of all, you think it's all for you. You don't just cook for yourself. God said there's some hungry people out there that I need you to feed. So don't be trying to impress and see what you done and what you done whipped up. And so you have this gift, that this recipe that you have, you know, you can be on TV about it and they can take part of it and show yourself being something that you're not. God said, man, you better humble yourself and think about somebody else other than yourself. Because that is what's going to draw people to taste the recipe. Amen. Verse 5 says this. You must have what? The same that Christ had. You got to have the same attitude that Christ had. What was Christ's attitude? He loved everybody. He did good for mankind. Even though that they treated him in the worst way, his mindset was to always please his Father. And his mindset was also to understand that people needed help. People is committing suicide. Why do you think we're going out today to pass out those flyers? Young people giving up on life because they're not being taught how to be strong in their, and they're not getting encouraged from individuals that could help change their life. But that's what we're here for. They don't want to do it, well, we'll do it. Because that's what Jesus would do. That was Jesus' attitude. People was dying, going to a Christless grave, and he said, no more. You ain't got to do that. I'm going to do that for you. Okay. Two more texts, and we're going to get out of here. Look at Philippians. We were just in Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Philippians, what chapter? 3, verses 15 and 16. So, here's some encouraging thoughts. It says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Do y'all agree with all this stuff that we're talking about? But it tells you this, though. If you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain for you. So if you don't believe what the preacher said, you go back to the Word of God and see what he has to say about it. Because the preacher ain't doing nothing but give you the scriptures in the Bible. So you can't say that you don't agree on every point because it ain't coming from my mouth. It's coming from the mouth of God. Amen. And then it says, look, don't look out. Oh, I'm sorry. And then it says, I believe that God will make it plain for you, but we must hold on to the progress that we already have made. Don't let the devil make you feel like God doesn't care, so you want to give up, and I'm going to go back out in the world and live any kind of way, and you miss out on heaven. Because now you want to put other ingredients in your life, and you become a spoiled, rotten recipe. And what God going to do with that? He going to throw it out. You're not getting into his kingdom like that. There's certain things that you're going to have to get into the kingdom of God. And those things is the same thing that God himself possess. Amen. So we need to have forgiveness. We need to have unity. We need to be in harmony. We need to look on the things of others. We should have a heart that goes out to the poor. We have people that we know in our family who really need God. Give them a piece of your ingredient so they too can become the recipe, just like we are. Our final text. Philippians chapter 1. Honestly, our final text. This is it. If you ain't got the message by now, I don't know what to say. Philippians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says what? For I want you to understand what really matters. See, what the preacher was giving you was just metaphors. But you understand it, right? He says, okay, I just want you to understand what really matters so that you may live what? Pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. maybe you always be filled. May you always be filled. May you always, not sometimes, but be always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. Here are the ingredients. The fruit of your salvation and the righteousness character. That's the recipe. God is saying all this stuff is just for character building. No one will get into heaven who looks and acts like the devil. If your character is like Satan and you evil and you want to be this way and that way and think you big and bad and say whatever you want to say because you grown now and all this kind of foolishness, God said, okay, I see you at the judgment. All right, here we go. Righteous character that produced in your life by Jesus Christ. He's working on your character. He's producing you to be something so pleasant. I mean, so beautiful. So when he look at you, he almost see himself in a reflection in a mirror, saying, they possess my character. They possess, man, the beautiful ingredients that's going to get them into the kingdom. Oh, man, I wish you all can enjoy this. I wish I had five people to understand what God is saying. He's saying, look, so, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Look, it said it's going to bring glory and praise to God. God is going to be so happy with us where we just were filled with his spirit and we have asked the world to do the same thing and we have told our kids, we have told our coworkers, we have been an example to our community. We went above and beyond through society and God is now pleased. That makes sense? See, this wasn't no preaching sermon today. It's just a teaching exercise. That's the way he told me to do it, so I apologize for those who want me to be hooping and hollering out today. Understand what God is saying. I'm finna close with this. Don't forget this thought. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't forget this thought. Ever. Ever. God will not flourish this church until our lives are in harmony with his word. He don't want to bring people in where there's a bunch of mess going on. What is that going to show them that's trying to come in? And then they're going to have the attitude that we act just like what's out in the world, so they go back. And they don't come to Jesus Christ. So what God is telling us, look, I just told you to be in unity, to be in harmony. Let love be the key ingredient to everything that you do. So when they do come, they're going to say, that is what we need. Because they're seeing that we care about their salvation. That we out there in the streets, not just preaching Jesus Christ, but we care about their families. And they are going the wrong way, and we want to give them a different direction. Jesus is about to come. And I ask God, I'm serious, you ought to ask God this too. Help me fulfill my purpose. Help me to fulfill my purpose. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians again, it says for us to be in harmony, be on one mind, to be united in thought and in purpose. Is that your desire today? Are you willing to allow God to develop you as a soldier for Christ, going out on that battlefield? Fighting not just for your salvation, but for somebody else. You guys know you got family members that you want to see saved. And it's up to us to be controlled by God's Spirit, to open their eyes to see that they too are in need of a Savior. Everybody, come on, stand with me. Stand with me. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. Because God wants to do something with you and for you and through you that's going to help make up his kingdom. Amen. So do this one thing for me. Do this one thing. Make a vow to yourself and to God that when God impresses you to do something, you will do it. So first of all, let us all get our lives cleaned up. Cleansed up by God's Spirit. So we can have the love of Christ just so flowing in us so deep and richly. It'll draw me into Christ. You want to be that light that Jesus said? We want to draw people to God. I'm tired of being here. I'm ready to go to heaven. And we are the ones that's keeping us here because we're not finishing the work. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scream all like that, but it just kind of irritates me when you guys know what to do and don't do it. Just like my kids, man, clean your room up. I've been telling you this since you was 5 years old. Then you're going to, no. But then you want something from dad. You want $150 shoes. And that's how we act with God. God already gave us the mouth. Hey, do this, do that. And then we don't want to do it. And then we want to beg and ask God for something. And then when God don't give it to us, then you got the nerve to get mad. Because you should have done something that God asked you to do anyway. Your blessings come in obedience. That's another thought. Y'all ready? All right, come on, choir. Y'all come on up here. I'm done. The message is clear, right? So now we are going to have the benediction. And we're going to ask that you will stay with us for those who are going to go out. We're going to pass out these flyers. It's going to take us probably about 20 minutes to do it. So it ain't going to be a long time today because we got a beautiful plan. Amen? Amen. Amen.
You want this? I want to praise God for that beautiful message. You all have the ingredients. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Amen. So we just thank Elder McCray for that beautiful message. And after our song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, that's what we need to do. Amen.
Amen.
Song says, what a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. All right, let's sing that together this morning. Come on, Ben.
Oh, our fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what
everlasting arms, Father. Father, for we know that you're able to hold us up and keep us from falling.
Yes.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. And the church said together, amen and amen.
Please.